When we are unsure of whether or not we should support a policy or not, I urge you to ask yourself the following question. If I'm wrong, could I be unnecessarily restricting an Alaskan's freedom? If so, I urge you to always vote to preserve freedom. I urge you to vote to preserve liberty. I urge you to vote to preserve the pursuit of happiness. I beg you to allow parents to make decisions for their own children. We cannot allow our government to trample on our God-given rights and freedoms.
Welcome to the East Anchorage Book Club. I'm your host, Andrew Gray. The purpose of this podcast is to tell the stories of Alaskans of interest and importance. Today is the final episode in our series on trans rights. The impulse for these 9 episodes is 3 bills currently moving through the Alaska State House. One which bans trans girls from playing girls' sports. One which requires kids to get signed permission slips approving their preferred name and pronouns. And one which allows doctors to be sued up to 20 years after treating a trans youth. Alaska has many big problems, the pressing need to increase the funding of our public school system, and finding a solution for an imminent energy crisis among them. But instead of working on these very real, very substantial problems, we are spending the last weeks of session debating whether trans youth exist and have rights. The purpose of the last 8 interviews was to show definitively that trans people and trans youth in particular do exist, and that trans people and trans youth do have rights. Doing these interviews has been more than just countering a harmful narrative driven by folks who have probably never had a conversation with a trans person before. I myself learned so much from these interviews. Part of the reason why I harped in the interview so much on the possibility that some Democrats might support some of this legislation is that before I started the series, I felt like they may have had a point. But these interviews have moved me far out of that camp. I see the bills for what they are: a concerted, strategic effort to drum up hate against an extremely small, very vulnerable, marginalized group of youth. After the way these bills have been debated in committee, it is quite clear that there is no desire to learn about trans youth, but rather only a desire to erase trans youth from our schools, make it so difficult to be trans in Alaska that youth will opt out of being their authentic selves, allowing the supporters of these bills to act as if they had never been there in the first place. There is a personal aspect to the way these bills were treated in committee. I was not allowed to ask the questions I wanted to ask on the record. The day House Bill 105, which is the governor's permission slip bill, was introduced, Commissioner of Education Dina Bishop was on hand to answer questions. But I was not allowed to ask her a single question in House Judiciary Committee. This is not the way the legislature is supposed to work. Mason's Manual, which is our guidebook of procedure, insists that the majority cannot deny the minority its right to speak. But the simple truth is that if the majority supports the chair when she violates those rules, the minority, which in this case is me, has no recourse. I not only embarked upon an obsessive whirlwind of interviews and podcast editing to get these episodes into the world as fast as possible, but I also took to the House floor. I gave my longest special order of my short legislative career about trans rights. What I was striving to do in that speech was to allow space for folks who have not encountered trans people before. We need those people, legislators in particular, to feel okay about their uncertainty and hesitation regarding an issue that they know so little about. I wanted to make it clear that although I believe the bills moving through the House are unquestionably bad and harmful, that the people who might think they support those bills are not bad or harmful people. Most of them just don't have the knowledge to see the potential damage these bills can do to the very real people that are targeted by that legislation. If you are listening to this, I ask that you make space to have conversations with people who may not be trans-friendly. To move the needle on trans rights, we need to be able to talk with people who think differently than us. We need to be able to do that with compassion and kindness. If those people had conducted the interviews that I did over the past 10 days, they would absolutely not think negatively of trans youth, those trans youth parents, or their supporters and healthcare providers. But the simple truth is that they weren't a part of those interviews, and they probably won't be listening to my podcast episodes either. Somehow, though, we have to build a bridge to them. Please be a part of the solution. The screaming and shouting about transphobes and harm to our gender diverse children is falling on deaf ears. I will now play my special order that I gave on the House floor on Wednesday, April 17th, 2024.
On the topic of my own prejudices.
Without objection, Representative Gray.
Thanks, Madam Speaker. About a year ago, after the budget debate, I gave a special order where I apologized for some of my behavior. I apologized for hyperpartisanship and basically maybe demonizing some folks. And there were definitely folks in my life who said that I shouldn't apologize. And to those people, I apologize that I'm about to apologize. I have to take ownership when I behave in ways that are not consistent with who I think I am. Madam Speaker, when I worked at the Alaska VA clinic, we had a gender-affirming care clinic that was led by a pharmacist. She was an expert in the field of medicine, and she managed all things trans with most of the transgender veterans that we had. One of the few things the pharmacist couldn't do, though, was an initial physical exam. So that task fell to me, and I met with trans veterans before they began their transition to make sure that they were physically healthy enough to do so. Before arriving to me in the exam room, that trans veteran would have begun their journey by meeting with the mental health department. The mental health department would have confirmed that they were indeed transgender, and they didn't have any untreated mental health issues that might be clouding their judgment or affecting their ability to make that decision. Once the mental health department signed off, then they met with a pharmacist. The clinical pharmacist would decide what the best treatment plan was for them at that time, and then they would be scheduled in my clinic. For the vast majority of veterans that I saw, that appointment with me was a formality. I filled out the necessary form, and they returned to the pharmacist to begin their plan of treatment. All except for one. There was a veteran scheduled in my clinic, and before I started the exam, I asked some questions. Question: when did you know you were trans? Answer: 6 months ago. Question: do you attend the transgender support group here at the VA? Answer: no. Question: do you have trans friends? Answer: no. Question: have you ever met a transgender person before? Answer: no. Is your spouse supportive of your decision? Answer: no. We'll probably end up getting a divorce. Question: is your employer supportive of your decision? Answer: I don't think so. I'll probably lose my job. Madam Speaker, I'd never had an encounter like that, and I was unprepared for those answers, and I refused to clear the veteran for transition. My decision was not without controversy. Although there were definitely people in the building who were relieved that I'd slammed on the brakes in this particular case, the psychiatrist who had cleared the veteran for transition was furious. They wanted to know how a PA like me felt that I had the right to override an MD psychiatrist's recommendation that this vet begin transition. But I held my ground. And the result was that we had to do a consult to a VA in the lower 48 that really specialized in this sort of care. They created the protocols that we followed. Their response to our question was swift and clear. I was wrong. They asked themselves these questions. Does this veteran have the capacity to make decisions for themselves? Answer: yes. Question: does this veteran understand the potential side effects for this treatment, including those that may be permanent? Answer: yes. Their findings were this veteran can begin gender-affirming care immediately. I lost a lot of sleep over that case, but I eventually understood the logic of the experts. What right did I have to deprive this veteran of freedom? A veteran who had fought for freedom would now be denied it because of my own prejudices about how a transgender person should answer questions. No, this veteran has the right to make their own decisions about their one and only precious life. Is it the decision that I would make? No. But this isn't about me. This is about America. And when in doubt, we should opt for the most freedom. We should opt for the least restrictive environment. We should opt for more choices. I saw that veteran a year later. They did not regret their decision at all. And surprisingly, they were still married and had their job. I had been wrong, and I apologized for my lack of support. This story is very unusual. The data shows that most trans folks know they are trans before they turn 18, and all three trans bills that we are currently debating throughout this body are about minors. The question is, how much independence and freedom do we allow our children? At what point do we say to our children, on this matter, you cannot disagree with me. You must do as I say, no matter what. Well, I think different parents will have different lines in the sand with regards to those issues and those questions. Is it our place as a legislature to determine that line in the sand for parents? Is it our responsibility to tell parents how they can and can't parent their own children? I think the answer is no. Parents should be afforded latitude to account for their own beliefs with regards to raising their own children, even if some parents do it completely different than you or I would. This issue is a hot button issue, Madam Speaker, and I need to apologize to the sponsors of those bills. I have definitely engaged in some rhetoric where I have described their bills as hateful or cruel. And if by doing that, it's ever implied that I think the sponsors of the bills are hateful or cruel, I apologize. I do not believe that people are hateful or cruel for bringing forward legislation that they believe in. In our current world, many of us function in our own little universes with completely different data sets. When we are being fed completely different sets of propaganda, and I am talking about the right, but I am also talking about the left, the far left terrifies people about asking common sense questions, about being willing to talk. We have been silenced by two separate sets of propaganda on both sides that refuse to allow us to have honest conversations about issues. I want to be the first to apologize for contributing to any sort of hostile environment. I want us to be able to have rational, civil discussions. Having said that, when we are unsure of whether or not we should support a policy or not, I urge you to ask yourself the following question. If I'm wrong, could I be unnecessarily restricting an Alaskan's freedoms? Could I be telling an Alaskan what they can and can't do with their one and only precious life? If so, I urge you to always vote to preserve freedom. I urge you to vote to preserve liberty. I urge you to vote to preserve the pursuit of happiness. I beg you to allow parents to make decisions for their own children. We cannot allow our government to trample on our God-given rights and freedoms. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
I ask that if you are moved to do so, please reach out to your legislators about these bills. As the mom of Henry, a 15-year-old trans boy in the Anchorage School District, said at the end of her episode,
we really need people to show up for us. These hearings are brutal. And listening to things that people are saying about our kids, it is awful. And it's even people were just willing to call or write and say, I don't know a lot about this, but I hate what I'm seeing. We would be so grateful.
Thank you so much, listeners. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, rate, and review us. To contact me, email rep.andrew.gray@akleg.gov or call 907-465-4944. 4-0.